the spring of 1842, I finally decided to obey the voice in my head that told me to witness to my scholars. With a suddenly light heart, I picked up my hat, left my studies, and started out for Troy, Maine on foot. Well, just a few more miles. I have a feeling I should stop at this cottage. I don't want to spend the night with strangers. Well, it won't hurt to ask for a drink of water.
Sit down. I'm glad you came.
Sir, you've been weeping. What's the matter?
I just buried my only son. I feel terrible.
I see you hold a Bible in your hand. Can you not find comfort there?
I'm not a Christian. My burden seems greater than I can bear. Will you stay the night with me?
Of course. And I hope I can bring you some comfort. Do you not know that Jesus is willing to carry your burden for you?
How can you know that?
He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." He bowed in prayer, and my new friend seemed relieved. In the morning, I helped him to erect the family altar and went on my way. All nature seemed to join my glad heart in the praise of God. What a beautiful morning.
Go into that house.
What? Who said that? It must have been my imagination. But I have such a strong feeling I'd better do it.
Why, schoolmaster, come in.
Olivia Porter, how nice to see you. Is your father in?
No, but mother is. Mother! Willie! Mason! Arlene, come see who's paid us a visit.
Mr. White, what are you doing in Troy?
Mrs. Porter, I've come with a very special purpose. Lately, I've learned some wonderful truths that I would like to share with you.
Truths, schoolmaster? Whatever do you mean?
It's about the soon coming of Jesus, but, well, it will take a little time to explain. May I study the Bible with you and have prayer?
Oh, schoolmaster, that's so kind of you. But first, let me send the children after the neighbors so they can hear, too.
Thank you all for coming. It is gratifying to see so many here. The news I have for you is very important. First, how many of you are professed Christians? Oh, none of you.
Oh, I guess not, schoolmaster. But we have heard that Jesus might be coming soon.
Yep, we've heard all some such.
That's what Mr. Miller preaches, ain't it?
Been hearing it a lot lately.
Heard it at the meetings here in town.
What you've heard is true.
But isn't there supposed to be a millennium first?
I always heard he wasn't coming in person, just in our hearts like.
Some folks was talking about it at the general store, but they were saying he's coming on a cloud.
Tell us what you know about it, schoolmaster.
The best way to start is to tell what happened to me. Like many of you, I thought William Miller was a fanatic. And so, my friends, the 2300 days, or years, are to end sometime in 1843. Then Jesus will come to earth in person. We must get ourselves right with God. With your permission, I will now kneel in prayer. But you're not Christians. I didn't expect you to kneel with me.
Oh, we want to be ready too, schoolmaster. Please pray for us.
Yes, please.
Please pray.
We need your prayers.
God bless you, brother.
As I visited my scholars, It seemed to me that the Lord could not have selected a duty more humbling to my pride. One day, I went to visit the chairman of the school board who had hired me to teach at Troy.
I'm very sorry, Mr. White, to find you in this state of mind.
Please, sir, just let me pray with you.
Well, you're a good teacher and a gentleman. I shall not forbid you.
In a few days, I had visited all of my scholars and was on my way home with the sweet assurance that I had done my duty. When I visited the place a few weeks later, a general reformation was in progress. Lectures were held during the summer, and by winter most of the people in the town had embraced religion.
I'm pleased that your trip to Troy Village went so well, son. Will you go back soon to continue God's work?
Mother, I have done God's work, and it's all that I'm going to do. I want to get on with my life, to continue my education.
If you believe in the Advent, why bother with an education?
Why? Mother, I'll need all the education I can get if I want to teach.
Your mother is right, James. If the Lord is coming in the next year or so, isn't it silly to spend your time in school instead of preaching to warn the world?
Me? A preacher? I feel so unworthy.
Son, you just be willing and let God take care of the worthy.
Where are you going?
To talk with Eldridge Smith, my roommate at St. Albans and Reedfield.
But he's not a Christian. How can he give you counsel on spiritual matters?
He's a good, honest man. Besides, we always tell each other everything. And besides, I just don't see how I dare to preach when I have so little education. Don't you think I'm right, Eldridge?
Well, James, I don't know whether Jesus will come in 1843, but you obviously believe it.
I do.
Then I think it well for me to say, follow the convictions of your own mind.
You're right, Eldridge. I shall make a speaking appointment right away. Thank you for your candor and good counsel.
How did the congregation accept you, son?
Oh, they didn't laugh, at least not out loud. But it was a lean time for me, and I was so embarrassed. Worst of all, one woman called me elder.
Now, what's so bad about that?
I don't want to be an elder. The word upset me so much, I don't remember anything else that happened all day.
Well, you'll have another chance when you speak with those two young preachers who are visiting the area.
Oh, I don't even want to think about it.
I'm sorry the meeting was such a trial to you, son.
Mother, I was so humiliated. I became so confused. I couldn't even finish. I thought the Lord was supposed to sustain those who serve him.
James, has it occurred to you that your unwillingness and lack of humility prevent your being sustained?
You're right, Father. From now on, I will live only for Christ and his gospel. With my decision came peace and freedom. I also felt the importance of studying the Advent doctrine in earnest. In September, an acquaintance and I attended a huge gathering of Advent believers in eastern Maine. Look, Elder, there's the great tent. I hear it seats about 4,000 people.
Yes, Brother White. It was made especially for Elder Miller, with funds raised at the East Kingsington camp meeting.
Let's hurry and get seats. They say hundreds of folks have to be turned away at each meeting. Elder Miller taught that scriptural prophecies are not mysterious and impenetrable, but that the Bible, if it is what it purports to be, will explain itself.
The prophecies of Daniel are God's warning to the earth, to give people time to prepare for the soon coming of Jesus and the end of the world.
But Brother Miller, the Bible says God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He won't let anyone be lost.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I think that's clear enough.
Oh, but Revelation is a book of symbols.
Well then, what about the book of Matthew? The Son of Man shall gather out of his kingdom all them that do iniquity and shall cast them into a furnace of fire.
Well, it does sound ominous.
And Malachi says plainly, the day that cometh shall burn them up.
I see your point, sir.
Father Miller's preaching is clear and powerful, Elder. He's given me much to think about.
He's given us all much to think about. Oh, look! See those two men?
The two distinguished men coming this way?
Yes, the one on the left is a newspaper editor. I wonder what he has to say about Father Miller.
You know, Obadiah, I took a prejudice against Mr. Miller when he first came among us. I thought he had made a glaring error in interpreting the scripture prophecies to mean the world would end in 1843.
Have you changed your mind, then?
After attending his lectures, I'm convinced he's a man of excellent character.
It's true that everywhere he goes, a revival follows. He reaches minds no one else seems to have any influence over.
What impresses me most is that he makes his arguments so forcefully that, well, if his premises are correct, one cannot escape his conclusions.